Welcome to American Mosaic in VOA Special English. I'm Doug Johnson. Today, we play music from the band Death Cab for Cutie. Answer a question about American astronaut Neil Armstrong, and report on an interesting satellite radio program. Radio listeners in the United States often say that local stations broadcast too many advertisements. So, many people are willing to pay money to listen to satellite radio. The two competing satellite radio companies in the United States, XM and Sirius, joined together in July. Barbara Klein tells us what satellite radio listeners are paying to hear.
Jeffrey York writes for the industry website radioandrecords.com. He says that 10 years ago, industry leaders questioned whether satellite radio would succeed. Who would want to pay to hear the radio, they thought. Today, more than 18 million people in the United States pay about $13 a month for the service. Part of the reason for this growth, says Mr. York, is the huge choice in programming. The new Sirius XM radio company will offer listeners several hundred channels to choose from. Most of them are free of advertisements. These channels present news, sports, humor, traffic, and weather, political shows, talk shows, cooking shows, and every kind of music. Rock musician Bob Dylan, for example, presents a program every week called Theme Time Radio Hour. The two-hour show is repeated several times a week. On each show, Dylan plays music based on an idea or subject, like trains, summer, New York City, or coffee. Between songs, the rock star talks about the music, the singers, his opinions, and anything else. Let's listen.
Welcome to Theme Time Radio Hour. The school's now in session. Take that gum out of your mouth and pay attention.
I can't do my homework.
It's Theme Time Radio Hour with your host, Bob Dylan.
This record is just a mystery. Don't know who it is, where it was done. Doesn't stop me from playing it, though.
Operator, operator, give me a line. I feel like talking.
Jump into house of fun. You don't hear records like that anymore. We're talking about the telephone today. It gets awful hot here in the summertime. Thank goodness you can open the windows in the Ebenezer building. The only problem is you can hear the planes taking off from Zamudio International Airport. I apologize for the noise, but it is awful convenient when I want to get out of town in a hurry. Theme Time Radio Hour.
Lifestyle expert Martha Stewart and comedian Jamie Foxx also present shows on satellite radio. So do Howard Stern and Bob Edwards, who used to have popular shows on other radio stations. Mr. York says satellite radio could become even more popular in the future if new and different personalities are invited to create programs.
Our VOA question this week comes from Indonesia. Mohamed Saleh asks about American astronaut Neil Armstrong and what he is doing now.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
That was Neil Armstrong speaking on July 20th, 1969, as he became the first person to set foot on the moon. Hundreds of millions of people around the world watched or listened to the moon landing. The United States Space Agency's Apollo 11 mission was an extraordinary scientific, engineering, and public relations success. And the astronaut quickly became an American hero. Neil Armstrong was surely born for the space adventure. But he was never quite at ease with the fame that followed. Neil Alden Armstrong was born in Wapakoneta, Ohio, in 1930. When he was 16, he learned to fly a plane and got his pilot's license. After high school, Neil joined the Navy and was accepted in a special program that paid for his college education. He went to Purdue University in Indiana. It had a strong flight engineering program. But the start of the Korean War delayed his studies. He was a pilot and carried out 78 air operations. He returned to complete his studies at Purdue after the war ended in 1952. Neil Armstrong was working as a test pilot when NASA chose him to become an astronaut. His first trip to space was with the Gemini program in 1966. 3 years later, he was named commander of the Apollo 11 flight. After the trip to the moon, he resigned from the astronaut program and from NASA in 1971. He went back to Ohio and taught aerospace engineering at the University of Cincinnati. Armstrong helped lead the government's investigation of the deadly explosion of the Space Shuttle Challenger in 1986. He has served on the boards of directors of many corporations. Over the years, both major American political parties asked Mr. Armstrong if he was interested in seeking public office, but he always said no. A few years ago, the private man became a little more public. He worked with writer James Hansen on a book about his life, First Man, The Life of Neil A. Armstrong, was published in 2005. Reporters asked him if he would be interested in going back into space. Armstrong laughed and said he did not think he would get the chance, but that he was available. Death Cab for Cutie has been making music for 10 years. The popular rock group recently released its 6th full-length album, Narrow Stairs. The group's guitar player, Chris Walla, describes the album as having teeth. The serious songs on the album show that Death Cab for Cutie continues to develop its sound in new and interesting ways. Faith Lapidus tells us more.
When the wind picked up, the fire spread, and the grapevine scene left for dead, and the northern sky looked like the end of day, the end of day. The wake-up call to a ransom room sounded like an alarm of impending doom to warn us it's only a matter of time before we all. Before we all.
the song Grapevine Fires. Ben Gibbard sings about how watching a spreading fire becomes a lesson about the impermanence of life. The name Death Cab for Cutie comes from a song written by a British band from the 1960s. Death Cab for Cutie recorded most of Narrow Stairs in the studio of the band's drummer, Jason McGeer. McGeer built the professional studio in Seattle, Washington, so the band could have a pleasant place in which to spend several weeks recording together. The album was recorded with the band facing each other as they played their music. This calm environment helps give the songs a natural sound, as though they were part of a live performance. Here is the song, I Will Possess Your Heart. This 8.5-minute song starts with a long musical introduction.
How I wish you could see the potential of you and me. It's like a book elegantly bound, but in a language that you can't read just yet. You gotta spend some time, love. You gotta spend some time with me. And I know that you'll find love. I will possess your heart.
Death Cab for Cutie has been performing music around the United States, Canada, and Europe this summer. Here they play Pity and Fear. This song skillfully expresses one person's thoughts on feeling sad and alone.
I have such envy of this stranger lying next to me. The night slips out into the pre-dawn light. With no words, clean escape. No promises or messages made. And chopped it all up to mistake.
I'm Doug Johnson. I hope you enjoyed our program today. It was written by Dana Dimage, Jill Moss, and Katie Weaver, who was also the producer. To read the text of this program and download audio, go to our website, voaspecialenglish.com. Join us again next week for American Mosaic, VOA's radio magazine in special English.
Who stays? There are no tears, just pity and fear.